Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Corey Herthel, pastor of Grand Rapids Central and Lowell Riverside Fellowship Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Corey.
Happy Sabbath. It's good to be with you this morning, to see all your smiling faces outside of a warm church. I understand this morning it wasn't so warm and they were a little concerned. I came in and I started to look at the thermostat and I got rebuked instantly. But it's feeling pretty decent in here now, so praise the Lord, right? We're thankful for thermostats and heat and air conditioning when it works properly. Amen? So we're thankful to have that. A few years back, Crystal and I received a gift from somebody. It was wrapped real nice in a box. We opened up that gift, and it was, I believe it was like a punch bowl type thing, one of these kind of, you know, two-in-one type deals where you can turn it one way and it's a bowl, and you turn it the other way and it's a cake plate, you know what I mean? And we got this as a gift. We opened it. Well, that's nice. Had a card with it, wishing us well. We got home, and at some point in the future, we opened this box to take the item out of the box, and inside the box, we found another greeting card. And we pulled out that card, and we looked at it, and it says, "Dear Judy, we hope you enjoy this nice punch bowl cake plate." We had become the victims of the regift. Have you ever been a regifter? You ever gotten something and you think, well, I'm not going to have any use for this, but I'll find somebody that I can pass it off on. Well, that's what happened to us. We got the regift. And so I think just for kicks, we put our card in there and we wrapped it and gave it to someone else too. No, I don't think we did, but it would have been kind of fun to keep the tradition alive, right? There are some things that we get and we say, I have no use for this thing. I want to do something else with it. What should I do? And so either we donate it, and Crystal's a master at donating things. She knows every time we move to a new place exactly where every Goodwill and Salvation Army is located, so she can donate. And she just likes to do that. But sometimes we say, you know, maybe I could use this and give it to someone else. And this is what happened. We've got a really good gift that's been given to us. And the young man read about it this morning in James chapter 1 and verse 17. The best gifts come from above. Amen? And here's what's interesting. When we look at Isaiah, which talks about that gift, if you want to turn there with me, I think you're pretty familiar with Isaiah chapter 9. This is sort of the gospel message, if you will, from the gospel prophet. Isaiah chapter 9, and let's start in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment from that time forward and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus talked about this when he was there with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We're very familiar with that chapter. We know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. To give is a gift. He gave us his son. So we receive Jesus as a gift. Now we think about this, and at this time of the year, You know, everything is jolly old St. Nicholas and Jack Frost nipping at your nose and chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And all those things are fun and nice and cute and dandy. But we know that as Christians, the thing that is the best of all, the gift that is better than any gift we could hope for, anything we could go out and tangibly purchase and give to someone else or pull out of our closet and re-gift, the best thing that's been given to us is this son called Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that this is a gift that we can keep for ourselves, and it's a gift that we can re-gift to others. What do you think? Because what Jesus has to offer, you know, it just said here, I love this in verse 7, this is why I know that we can re-gift over and over and still keep the gift ourselves. Verse 7 in Isaiah chapter 9 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, it's that gift that just keeps on expanding and going and growing and continuing onward. Amen? And so why did God send us this gift? If you think about it, humanity was a wreck. It still is, for the most part. But humanity was a wreck. And yet, rather than just deciding to erase and start over, God said, no, I'm going to send a gift that will fix everything. Take a look with me. I like to do a little Bible study with you. Take a look with me at the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 5. I want us to look at a few verses here. Romans chapter 5, what Paul has to say about Jesus coming to this earth, the purpose and what he was here to accomplish, this great gift through the Son of God being manifest into human flesh. We were just talking about it earlier this week during our Jesus on Prophecy Phase 2 study. We were talking about how just the significance of Jesus' manifestation in human flesh and how Jesus, prior to his manifestation in human flesh, he was in the likeness of the angels because they looked at him and they called him Michael, Michael, which just simply meant the one who is what God is or who is like God. But then after he was incarnate, they gave him the name Jesus, which just means God will save, or Jehovah saves is what Jesus means. But there's just something real significant about this idea that now God himself stepped off the throne and he took on human flesh. And it wasn't just any human flesh. It was the human flesh that came after the fall of sin, right? The fall into sin. So it was this human flesh that was subject to illness and to weakness and to pain and to suffering, etc. So Jesus did something very remarkable by doing this, very significant. And now we're told in the book Desire of Ages, and we talked about this a little bit this week, that now as humans, we share a bond with Jesus that is a greater bond than had sin never happened and had God never sent Jesus. Think about this. We've always had a good bond with Jesus, and we don't celebrate that sin came along, right? However, in spite of the fact that sin came along, God had this plan, and because of sin coming along, God executed this plan, and this plan was to send us this amazing gift, himself wrapped up in the package of human flesh. And now throughout all eternity, Jesus will be in that condition. The human condition. He will have that human flesh. And throughout eternity, we have this bond now with our Creator that is much more intimate and deeper than had that not happened. It's really incredible to think about it. We look here in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12, and it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So basically, Adam started this disease that from the moment a person is born, they're on a trajectory towards death. So it's really kind of a sad situation. But then God sends a gift, right? God sends a gift. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. Amen? So a gift came. God gives an amazing gift. For by one man's offense, many died. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the what kind of gift, friends? The free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, friends, but having the gift of assurance of life eternal is better than anything you can pull out of your closet and give to someone else. What do you say? The Bible says that the good gifts come from above. We read about it. Let's look at it again. James 1 and verse 17. Listen to this in verse 14. James 1 and verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. But do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not change His promise towards us. Amen? Instead, that promise is the gift of the Son, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. The entire structure of the universe rests upon His shoulder. He's the King, He's the Magistrate, He's the Judge, He's the Jury, He's the Attorney, and yet He is our free gift. Jesus came into this world and He took a broken race of human beings that were far removed from God, and He brought in this ministry of reconciliation. He built a bridge so that we could walk across and boldly make it to the throne. He ripped the veil that was separating God's presence from humanity. He gave us the ability to be adopted as sons and daughters of royalty. In our weakness, we are told that His strength is perfected in us. Amen? We are told that He promises us victory over anything that the devil throws our way. We are told in Hebrews that if we look to Jesus, we're guaranteed success because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And ultimately, one of the most beautiful things that Paul ever wrote in his dissertation on Christianity in 2 Corinthians 5, right at the end, it says that He who knew no sin became sin for us. And that through His one sacrifice, He laid up an atonement forever those who would trust Him. And so the question then becomes, with this amazing gift that Jesus has given to us, with this just absolute incredible promise of the Son coming down to us and being our perfect and wonderful good gift, what can we do? How can we take this gift to others? How can we re-gift it to Jesus? I mean, to others and to Jesus, right? Because we can take His gift and give it back to Him. He's given us Himself, and He just asks us to give Him our hearts. I want to tell you a little story of what happened. I'm going to just give you a preview because I intend later on in January, I intend to share with you all the details about the Ecuador trip. The Lord really blessed. But it's interesting because when you are a team leader and you go down on these trips, you don't always get the interaction with folks that you'd like to. You know, as a pastor, I like to interact with people. I like to preach. I like to share. I like to do Bible studies. I like to teach. And when I'm down there as a team leader, I don't get to do that part so much, because as a team leader, you're more of the coordinator, making sure that nothing's falling apart or ripping at the seams. But I always pray before I go on a trip, and I say, Lord, even though I'm going down as a team leader, somehow give me some kind of divine appointment so that I can do some kind of personal ministry with somebody or a group of people or whatever. And so we were down there, and Pastor Bentley and I was the team leader, and he was doing sort of a training trip. He's going to be leading a team in a few months. And so we were kind of co-leading. And we had a vehicle that was lent to us by one of the church members there. And so we were running all these errands every day. We'd get in the vehicle. We'd have to go to the grocery store and buy all these snacks and water and all this stuff for the team. And sometimes we'd have to drive down and park close to the border and then walk into Peru and buy things for children's ministry or health ministry or whatever. It's cheaper in Peru. So we would walk down there across the little land bridge. And one day we were driving the vehicle. We were headed to go to Peru, actually. And we had been to the grocery store, so the back end of our vehicle, we were driving this 1980, I don't know what it was, 86 maybe, Isuzu Trooper. So just imagine this boxy old 1980s model SUV, just ran like a tank, but it had air conditioning in it, praise God. That was one thing I said to the pastor. I said, this year, he sent me a text message. He said, now, can you remind me what you paid Roberto last year to use his vehicle? I said, I think it was $150. I said, but tell whoever, I'll give him $200 if it has air this year. So last year didn't have air. And so he found us one with air conditioning. It was great. What a blessing. Because it's hot down there at this time of the year. But anyway, we're driving along this Isuzu, and we've got the back end, the hatch, just full of all these grocery bags, full of, you name it, chips and cookies and drinks and fruit, like little dried fruit cups and granola bars and nut mixes and just everything. Because when you got teams out there and it's 86 degrees or 88 degrees in the hard sun and they're working on ladders, painting, or they're handing out eyeglasses to folks or whatever, people tend to get a little famished and you don't want anybody passing out, right? So we make these deliveries to our team and we bring them water bottles and we bring them these snacks, whatever. And of course, you have local people there that are working with our team. And so we have to buy a lot because everybody's included, right? And even the people that are sitting there at the clinic waiting to get their eyes checked or whatever, we go around and we let them have snacks too. We just try to provide for everybody best we can. We're driving down the main road there. Avenida de la República is what it's called, the Republic Avenue. We're driving down that main road right in front of our hotel, and we get to a stoplight, and there are lots of Venezuelan refugees in Ecuador right now. Lots. Venezuela's in a mess. I don't know if you've heard anything about it or read anything on the news, but Venezuela is in real serious crisis. Its government is just gone crazy. And the people, it's just terrible, the situation they're in. Much like, I guess, when Cuba went through its revolution back in the 50s. It's kind of like that, maybe even worse. It's violent, it's bad. So a lot of these people are fleeing Venezuela the best they can. Of course, they're landlocked with Colombia. And so they go down through Colombia and they get into Ecuador. And up until just recently, Venezuelans could come to Ecuador without a visa. So there are lots of Venezuelan refugees there. Matter of fact, you drive close to the border of Peru and you'll find all of these camps set up by ADRA and these different UNICEF and these different agencies trying to help these individuals and give them shelter and water and basic necessities. So we're driving through there, and one of the things that these Venezuelan refugees will do and try to earn a little bit of money is they take old soda bottles, or I guess Michigan pop bottles, and they punch a hole in the top of the lid, and they fill it up with some kind of solution that they make, like a soapy water, and they carry a squeegee, and as you, or a little towel or a rag or something, and as you pull up to the stoplight, they run up right away and they squirt that all over your windshield, whether you want them to or not, and they start cleaning your windshield. Now, you know, for me, when somebody does that, I don't, in good conscience, I can't not give them something, right? Most of the people just ignore them and keep on going. And so, three or four times this had happened to us, and I'm just like, And I'll just let them do it, you know, and they would do it, and I'd give them a 50-cent piece or whatever I had to thank them for doing that. And so one of these points that we're driving along, we come up to the stoplight, and here they come. They come running, and at this point, we're like, no, it's okay. And they start squirting the window and doing everything. But I was riding at this point. I wasn't driving the vehicle. Over to my window comes this little boy. And I guessed, like, maybe he was about Hayden's age, 11-ish, 10, somewhere in that. He came to my window and very well put together looking kid. And he comes over and he looks at me. And at this time, the light's turning back to green. And when you're in Ecuador and the light's green, they don't give you a chance. It's honking instantly. Matter of fact, in Ecuador, if you don't honk, you have a problem. That's just how they travel there. So it's very different. It's shocking to the culture, you know, until you get used to it. But you're always honking. You go through every intersection, you honk. Because people, you know, the lights are really suggestions there. And so, at least in Huaquillas, one time we were parking and I needed a place to park. And everywhere there's this sign that has an E with a circle and a line through it. And the E means estacionar, which means to park. And so it puts it down there and I pull up and I'm looking for a place to park. And there's this guy leaned along the wall and I said, where do I park? And he goes, right here. And I said, yeah, but it says, no estacionarse. And he goes, no pasa nada. Like, nothing's going to happen. Just do it. So, you know, everything's a suggestion. There comes law. So, but the light's turning green and they're blowing their horn. But this little boy walks up to my window and he looks in my window and he just has these kind of like puppy dog eyes. And he points to the back of the vehicle because he could see in there. He could see through the windows. He saw all those grocery bags and he looked at me and of course we had to drive off. So me being how I am, that kind of like just ripped my heart out. And I said to Pastor Bentley, I said, yeah, we can't just let a kid ask for food and we didn't give it to him. I said, so go ahead and pull up to the hotel. We weren't far. I said, pull up and circle in there. And I said, I'll get out and I'll fix a bag just for him. And then we'll go back and give it to him. And he says, okay, let's do that. So I go and I fix up this bag and I have everything ready. And I carry these little crystal light pouches of drink. You know, you pour it into your water and shake it up. Because after, you know, 8 days of just lukewarm bottled water, I got to have something different. So I shake it up and, you know, whatever. So I had some of those in my backpack and I stuck them in a 6-pack of water and I had them ready. And I said, let's go back up there. It wasn't even 10 minutes. And we spun back around. Kid was nowhere to be found. And I was like, oh my. I said, the kid just asked for food and then he ran off. And now I'm going to be really worried about this. And I said, well, I'm going to hang on to this bag. We drove away and we ran some errands. We came back. Kid was nowhere to be found. All day long, every time we'd pass, I would look. There was no kid there. The next day, had that bag in my lap in the front seat. I was ready, but no kid. So all day long, that second day, no kid. And I had kind of given up hope on it, so I took that same bag and I put it back behind the back seat in that hatch and just forgot about it and said, well, you know, it is what it is, I suppose, but just had that weird feeling, you know, that weird feeling you kind of get in your gut that's just like, oh, that just didn't go the way it should have. And we're driving along when it was getting towards dusk. And we're driving along and I wasn't paying attention to anything, just kind of riding along. And Pastor Bentley says, hey, there's your kid. And I see him and he's up there running around. I said, oh, okay. So I jumped out of my seat and I jumped to the back and grabbed that bag. And I said, now pull over to the mill. I don't care if people honk. I said, pull over and call him over. So we pulled over and he tooted the horn and we motioned for the kid. And he came running like a gazelle across that street. I mean, he just, it was like he was just floating through the air. And he came over, we rolled the window down and I put the bag out to him and I said, here, I said, we want you to have this because Jesus loves you so much. And he took the bag and as we were pulling away, I could hear him yelling, thank you, God bless you. And we drove off. So next time we came back around, guess who was there on the side? That boy. And he's waving and he's happy. So we hand him some water. So Pastor Bentley says to me, you know, I think I'd like to get him a soccer ball. Because, I mean, there's sort of a little saying that I tease them about when I'm down there. I'm like, yeah, you can't be Latino and not play soccer. It's just in the blood. It's just part of who you are as a person. And they're like, yes, Pastor, that's right. So they all play soccer. And so they make me play soccer, even though I don't know anything about playing soccer, but they make me do it when I'm there. So anyway, Pastor Bentley says, I want to get a soccer ball for him. So we go and we get one day while we're out. And of course, we run by, there he is again. So we roll down the window and we hand it to him through the window. And I say, just remember, every time you play with this ball, just remember how precious you are to Jesus. And I just, every time I got a chance, I would say something like that. And so to make a real long story short, we ended up really getting to develop a bond with this young man, and we got to meet with his family. He spent the whole day with us that following Sabbath. He spent the whole day and went to church. And ever since then, for the past two Sabbaths, he's been at Sabbath school and church. And his family is very supportive of that and working towards getting him in the Adventist school there in Waukees. And so I say that just because I look at that situation and I praise God because he gave us the opportunity to meet these people. And I know the way that God has blessed me, how he's blessed my family, how he's blessed our church. And I say, Lord, what is some way that I can just give that gift a little bit and pass it on and break a piece off? And you know, you break a piece off and it just grows into something big, right? And just by being able to hand these little snacks out and say, Jesus loves you, it was just enough to spark a little something. And the kid became interested. And he asked us all these questions. Where are you from? Where do you pastor? And all that. At the end of the week, at the end of that last Sabbath, he had spent the entire day with us. We went to a church member's home. He went with us. We ate lunch. After that, we went back to the school and we had the big celebration. He went there. He got to witness all the baptisms that we did. I had all these events in the evening, played soccer. The next morning on Sunday, I start getting all these texts from his mom and his sister. He's 12 years old and everybody else is an adult. And his sister and brother are grown and his mother. So he's one of those, you know, young kid with all these grown up people. And he's got some cousins and things, but I start getting all these text messages from his sister and his mother, and they're saying, Pastor, thank you so much for being so kind to Kelvin. Thank you so much for taking him to church. And his mother said, last night, he wouldn't even go to bed when he came back from playing soccer. He wanted to sit up, and he was talking to us until 12:30, almost 1 o'clock in the morning, saying that all he wants to do is be baptized and now preach the gospel to the whole world like you guys do. And I wrote back, and I said, praise the Lord. I said, and we want to see him do that. And she said, yes, we do too. So I'm just so thrilled that it worked out well. You know, you couldn't do that everywhere you go in the world, right? Couldn't have an experience like that everywhere because, you know, two strange guys picking up a 12-year-old kid and taking him with them. But these people didn't mind. And apparently they saw something that gave them comfort in us doing this. But I just praise God because I don't know what kind of impact that might have now on the rest of that family there. And maybe other people that they interact with, because, you know, there's lots of these individuals that are there, as I mentioned, that kind of have a network and they're working together just trying to survive, to make ends meet, to be able to feed their families and have a home and, you know, eventually have some opportunity. So I don't know what the Lord has in store from here on, but I just want to encourage you by saying we've been given the best gift ever. And we can keep on re-gifting it. Amen. Sometimes it's just as simple as telling somebody, hey, guess what? You're really precious in the eyes of Jesus. You're really important to God. In Messages to Young People, page 407, it says, the heart belongs to Jesus. He's paid an infinite price for the soul, and he intercedes before the Father as our mediator, pleading not as a petitioner, but as conqueror who would claim that which is his own. He is able to save to the uttermost, for he ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen? A heart is a precious offering, the most valuable gift that can be presented to God. All that you are, all the ability you possess, comes from God, a sacred trust, to be rendered back to him again in a willing, holy offering. You cannot give to God anything that he has not first given you. Therefore, when the heart is given to God, it is giving to him a gift which he has purchased and is his own. Let's re-gift this Christmas. What do you say? Let's give back to Jesus what he's given to us. The punch bowl I tease and say we were the victims of the re-gift. But I want to say that we can do a re-gift. We can give a re-gift that makes a huge impact to someone else. Let Jesus have your heart that he's purchased. And let others have a piece of what that's like. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, indeed the best gift ever has been given to us. We can't even begin to put a value on it because it's invaluable. It's the gift which leads to life eternal in your Son Jesus. And you gave him so freely to us because it was the only way to save for yourself this precious creation that you created in your image. The devil tried to steal us from you, Lord, but you wouldn't have it. And so, Lord, we appreciate that gift so much. We love you for it. It draws us to you. But, Lord, you're asking that we don't just take and squander that gift, but that we use that gift, that we apply that gift, and that we re-gift it to others. So, Lord, help us to be good re-gifters. Help us to show people what it looks like to love Jesus, to live for him, to be saved by him. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified through that effort. May you work through us, Lord, to bring many souls back to you. We thank you so much for all your many precious gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Corey Herthel, pastor of Grand Rapids Central and Lowell Riverside Fellowship Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Grand Rapids Central Church at 100 Sheldon Avenue, Southeast in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Or visit the Lowell Riverside Fellowship Church located at 10300 Virginia Street in Lowell, Michigan, and their church service begins at 10:30 a.m. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.